people a little bit about yourself and your previous interaction with ICANN and your present job?
Okay. So my name is Anne-Rachelle Ine, and I come from Niger. Niger is in West Africa.
I'm sorry, you come from where?
Niger, or say Niger.
Oh, okay.
Okay. French-speaking on top of Nigeria in West Africa. Now, I've been actually participating in ICANN's meeting since 2000 in Cairo. And when I started participating, I was a consultant basically for the Francophonie. And what was happening was that I was at that time a consultant and also liaison for the West African Enterprise Network, which is a network of entrepreneurs, people who have their own company, and there's about 350 of us. So I was pretty much their liaison with the African Enterprise Network and the African Business Roundtable, which was the reason why the Francophonie, because I was also working with them on other issues, asked me if I could participate in ICANN to see what was going on in the business constituency. So that's how I started participating in ICANN meeting. So before coming to ICANN, I was first a translator, and then I worked for Air France as a sales manager in their Niger office, and a director for the local office also. And afterwards, well, I continued as a consultant, and now I work for ICANN as a policy analyst. Basically, what I do is top-level support for the board and for the different constituencies of the GNSO, and maybe later for the CCNSO also in putting together their policies. So you do the big job, and I do the administrative part at ICANN. That's it.
Thank you, and thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you for letting me in.
So let me ask people to just to introduce yourselves to Anne-Rachelle and tell her both where you are and the constituency that you represent, so she begins to get a sense of who we all are. And Glenn, you probably just want to kick it off.
Can I start?
Yeah.
I think Anne-Rachelle knows me.
Yes.
From the business constituency. We are fellow Africans. And I am doing the secretarial work for the Generic Names Council.
Okay.
Getting everything that keeps it together with the six constituencies. So I suppose we'll be working quite closely together.
Okay. Nice to hear that.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, I'm Laurence Jolacian. I'm working for the Motion Picture Association in Brussels, in Europe. And
Bonjour,
I'm
Laurence.
Yes, and I'm representing the intellectual property constituency in this call with Steve Metalist, but Steve is not here.
Okay.
And we just keep going. Tony?
Yes, I'm Tony Harris. I'm co-chair of the WIS Task Force. I work for Cabase in Argentina, which is an internet industry association. And I also represent the ISPCP constituency within the ICANN.
Hi.
Hello.
Ian?
Hi there, how are you? My name is Ken Stubbs.
I've been
involved in the ICANN process now for about 3.5 or 4 years. I was formerly the chairman of CORE, the Internet Council based in, registrars based in Geneva. I live in the U.S. and I represent the registrar constituency on the Names Council, and it's a pleasure to make your acquaintance.
Pleasure to meet you,
Susan.
And Thomas?
Well, Thomas Rössler. I came onto this task force as a representative from the DNSO's General Assembly, which I chaired at that time. know, I'm, so to speak, slightly like an orphan, but I'm a member of the Large Advisory Committee, but at this point not formally representing it here.
Hi, Tony.
And Christine.
Good morning. I'm Christine McKee. I have a company. We write internet software applications and build networks that are enterprise-type networks based off of internet connectivity. I used to be an internet service provider, and I've been involved with ICANN since its conception. I am an orphan with Thomas. I was representing the General Assembly, and I am leading the searchability team for our issue report.
Hi, Christine.
Good morning.
And is that it? Has anyone else joined us?
Ron will join us in a few moments.
Yeah. I think Glenn.
I know what's coming.
if we had this call again the night before the call, would you send a reminder out?
I'll do that. Yes, I realize, Marilyn.
We're laughing, Michelle, because we've been using the same bridge number, but all of us misplace our calendars. Okay. So what we're going to do today is talk about the work we have still to do, talk about the any questions that people have about the present document and process, and then lay out a timeline for when we can, that we've got to be able to meet, because, again, we have a longer posting period required for comments. Now, I am quite confused, and hi, Ram.
Hi, this is Ram.
You're joining Stan and Thomas and Christy and Tony and Lawrence and Anne-Michelle.
And Ken Stubb.
Say,
Ram, we can recognize your beep when you chime in.
It's all a vast conspiracy.
Yeah, we confess to that, and we'll do better by sending the number out again next time. Okay. Anne-Michelle has joined us. She is with the ICANN staff. I don't know if you've met her, but I'll let you two communicate offline, and we will move ahead. I do have a question, and wonderful that Anne-Michelle has joined us, because I have a question myself about the length of time that we have to have the issues reports posted. I am not sure that we actually have to post the issues reports for comment, but I think it would be helpful to do that. So we are not operating, this task force is not operating solely under the PDP, because we began our work so far ahead of time, Anne-Michelle, but we're trying to adopt it wherever we can. Can you just verify with Louis, if you can, what the view of the staff is on the length of time that we have to post? And we ought to even try to look it up in the PDP while we're online. I believe it's 20 days.
Marilyn?
Yes.
I think we would only have a deadline if it was actually clear, if a policy development process would immediately begin on the issues reports. But my impression was that we are producing these reports for later policy development work on some kind of a schedule to be figured out by the NAMES Council.
That's right.
So I don't think we have any formal timelines at this point. The issues report would be open for comment in the beginning of the policy development process. That's where it happens, but that's something which would have to be kicked off separately by the NAMES Council, and it would be their discretion to do it or not to do it.
Then the deadline, if Thomas's interpretation is correct, and I'm not challenging it, I just want to be sure that we verify, if his interpretation is correct, then our deadline would be posting 14 days before the meeting of the NAMES Council. Is that right, Glenn? It's still 14
days? Yes.
Okay. So that would mean that we would need to post March something or other, which I'll look up in just a minute.
I'll get you the date.
Okay. We will have still, I believe now we'll have three issues reports. Is that right, Ron and Christy? You guys are going to collapse yours?
That's correct.
Okay. So we'll
I believe it's March 9th, by the way, on the date.
Okay.
I think our meeting's the 23rd. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
The meeting in Rio is on the council meeting is on the 25th.
Okay.
It is. 25th. But people will be traveling, so if we can post it a couple of days earlier, I think that would,
I think it should be by about March 10 or 11.
Okay.
When the GNSO agenda gets posted.
Okay. And did someone else just join us?
Yes, hi, Marilyn. This is Ruchika.
Hi, Ruchika. We're just talking about the date for posting our issues reports, Ruchika.
Okay.
And it looks like March the 10th or 11th at the latest.
Okay.
We can, and my suggestion is going to be that the group think about whether we post all of them at the same time or we try to post a couple of them early and get them out of the way. And I would, if it's possible to do that, and to run the comments sequentially in that way, I'd at least like us to think about it. I don't know if it's going to be possible at all. But if we're not fixed, with like a 20-day comment period, and we had one of the issues reports available next week, for instance, and we could open it up for 10 days of comments, it might be helpful to the community as well to try to not deluge them all with one with a big pile of the issues reports at one time. But I just put that on the table, not for a decision right now, but for people to think about. So let me talk about our present report and what is going to happen. Just so everybody feels like they are drowning in this information. It is on the agenda for the upcoming call on the 20th. I will ask Bruce, Glenn, if you would take care of this, please, if you don't mind.
Yes.
Ask Bruce to make extra ports available so that both the Transfers Task Force and then the Who Is Task Force can dial in at the time of the discussion if they choose to do that.
Good.
Mm-hmm. And that allows us then to refer questions, if needed, to members of the task force.
Marilyn, have you any idea of how many extra ports you would like?
It's at 9 a.m. U.S. time. I think probably for transfers, we certainly wouldn't need any more than 6 extra. We might actually, let me just do a quick count here. Becky, Ken and I are already counted, and Tony's counted. That's 3.
And Laurence is counted.
And Philip is counted. So, Ruchika, you'll probably want to be on, won't you?
Yes, Marilyn.
Okay. I don't know about Troy. Brett probably will. That's 2. Steve will. 3. Rom, you will, won't you?
Yes, I will.
Okay. 4. 5. With Thomas. 6. 7. Wouldn't you get 8 ports?
I'll do that.
And that will take care of either way it goes.
Okay.
Terrific. And then if you guys would just look at the DNSO site, we'll see the agenda and the time of the, and we do try to keep as much as possible to the time frame. So we'll have our comments that come in during the 10-day period that it's open. We'll need to incorporate those comments, discuss them, attach them, of course, with some kind of a summary of whatever we get, and link to them, and then we will need to make a decision about if there's anything in the comments that would cause us to change our document in any way. I doubt if there will be something that is so new that we have not previously addressed it. I could be wrong. I think the most important thing for us to keep refreshing people's memory on is that there's a lot of further work. This task force is making a final report on two specific areas, and not even a complete set of policy recommendations on either of those areas. But that, I think, we may see from the comments the need to just make that even clearer than we have so far. I would ask that everybody be sure that they have posted the reports themselves to their constituency to see if there are any further nuggets that they can generate from their constituency. We probably should try to provide constituency impact statements.
I think it's a good idea, Marilyn.
So that means, Ram, if I can ask you to, you and Becky can shepherd the registries, if you can, and Lawrence, you and Steve, the IP.
Mm-hmm.
I have already asked Troy and Brett to do the BC, but I haven't gotten an acknowledgement. So if they don't agree to do it, then I will do something for the BC. Tony has ISPs. Richika, why don't you talk to Harold about the feasibility of that? Chun, the reason it's important for your constituency to say something is Chun asked for the further time to make a comment so the constituencies could provide comments.
Okay.
But, of course, the constituency did not respond, and at the none did, by the way. So there were no further comments received by any of the constituencies. But it would be good, I think, to just try to make sure that you touch base back with Harold and Chun if you can. Who'd I miss? I missed constituency. IP, business, ISP, non-commercial, registrar. That's, I guess. Okay. They can be fairly short, and I'd be happy to, there is no model, I'd be happy to share a version that we are working on in the BC for deletes with the group, if that would be helpful to you.
Yeah, please.
Okay. Then we'll have the discussion, and in the discussion, the thing to remember is that in March in Rio, this task force, after it makes its impact reports, will be closed.
After it makes its issue reports, right?
Issue reports, sorry. It will be closed. And we should give a recommendation to the GNSO Council, about our recommendation for how to do the further work. That is expected from us. It's not required, but it is expected from us. And I think it would be important for us to do because of the fact that we have spent a lot of time trying to understand the issues and the dynamics. So for March, what I would expect us to do is to, in addition to our issues report, to lay out what we think ways might be to continue the rest of the work, if any, in specific areas. So, for instance, hypothetically, Ram and Christy might suggest that it's more appropriate at this time to follow the standards process and participate in it and to keep a watching brief on issues related to searchability and consistency. They might recommend that it would be important to learn from the CCTLDs what services are offered maybe by the CCTLDs in this area within their own country, if any of them have specific initiatives or capabilities. It might be something very different than that, but I would suggest that the issues report, people drafting it should put forward to the count, to the task force, what your recommendation is for what should happen next. So not just listing the issues, but your recommendation for what should happen next, if any. Does that sense to everybody?
Yeah, I think it's consistent with our plan, yeah.
Okay, terrific.
Marilyn, we need some assistance, Christy and I, in setting up two conference calls for Team 2 and Team 3 to meet.
Glenn, can you...
Yes, certainly.
And Glenn, you know, if that's okay, then I'll email you with the proposed time, and you know, if you can provide me the information, copy Christy as well. We can move that forward.
Okay, fine. There's no problem. If you just give me the list of people with their time zones.
Will do. Thank you.
Thanks, Ron.
Okay. Can we then? Is there anything else before we hear from Ram and Christy and Richika? On sort of the status and talk about how we support them? Okay. The only thing that I want to come back to at the end of the call is a discussion about follow-up with the European Commission staff for a clarifying discussion on their paper. And I'll just come back to that and at the end of the call. Ram, Christy, can you guys tell us where you are and how things are progressing for you?
Sure. Christy, how do you want to do this? Do you want...
Can we just walk through the Team 2 and Team 3 tasks that we sent out?
Okay, great.
Go ahead.
What we've got, we've identified the major tasks that that need to happen. Now, one of the reasons why Christy and I joined forces here was because of the fact that both issues are linked together, and on the background, the underlying information that we rely upon, we share a lot in common. What we've done right now is identified specific tasks that will make up the issues report. We've broken them up into specific components, including identification of text from the registrar agreements, making sure that we compile relevant comments received and a summary of the comments, determine or report on the list of guests, and collect statistics and tactics information, as well as provide it's not intended to be an exhaustive, but a representative summary of existing services that are available, and provide a list of recommendations, should we have any, for consideration in terms of policy making. Now, for each one of these tasks, we've identified members from our joint teams to work on it, and each of the members also have we've provided suggested guidelines, timelines for them to get the tasks complete by. At this point, and we do have two team meetings scheduled, one for next Tuesday and another for the Tuesday following, to track progress on a close basis. Now, the one area where we have a little bit of a problem right now is the area that we had earlier assigned Thomas to do. We had Troy helping summarize a number of the comments, but Troy needs all that information compiled together in one place, and Thomas had volunteered to do that, and unfortunately he is now unavailable to be able to do that part of the task. So we need some help. We need someone to volunteer to do that. The compilation of the relevant comments received when it comes to uniformity and searchability. But with the exception of that, I'll leave that as an open item for this call. But with the exception of that, we have a plan. We have timelines listed for the plan, and we've identified team members who need to work to get to the plan, to meet the deliverables in the plan, and we have two status meetings to track deliverables. Christy, did you want to add anything?
No, that was perfect. Thank you.
And how extensive is that additional work?
It would be, depending on how familiar the whoever offers to do the work, is with the actual comments, you know, a lot or a little. If it's someone who's real familiar with the comments that, you know, they kind of read them all, they're just going to be a little bit faster. But it'll be going to each of the comments areas and then identifying those comments that are relevant and copying, pasting them into a list to give to Troy.
Can I ask a question of, Steve is not on, but don't we have to do the same thing for Steve's issue report?
Yes.
Don't we already have basically, I think we have most of that work in the existing reports already.
I see.
Maybe sometimes splitting apart of things, but I don't think it should be much more.
Yeah.
I can't speak about the very early comments. There will be more work hidden there.
I was trying to figure out if there was a way to get a team of people to do it and do it for both of the subject areas at the same time. For all of the subject areas at the same time. I'm just trying to think, Christy, about how much work does this seem to be to you and Ram. What you're trying to do is to sift out the comments that are specifically about consistency and searchability, right?
Right.
When just so. Back up all the way to the survey for just a minute with me, guys. When we analyze the surveys, Thomas, you might be the best person to remember this with me. Did we had specific questions that were related to searchability and consistency, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
So, I don't know of any way to, I'm just trying to figure out if there's any way to streamline tracking through all of our comments. Christy, have we received a ton of comments overall? If we go back to our first report.
Oh, I don't think so, compared to what we could have received.
Yeah.
It's like just a little tiny bit, but it's still, we are looking at, you know, probably most of a day for someone.
I see.
That, which is, you know, just consistent.
But does it make sense to people that it would be more efficient if we tried to do this for both Steve and...
Very much, because there are quite a few comments which address multiple topics. And you would probably just take them apart and put a summary of the content referring to the accuracy here and the content referring to bike referring to uniformity or something like that into the other report. Doesn't make much sense to do all the reading by different persons.
No. Can we divide the work between people like we did the analysis of the survey and have people take part of the, you know, take a segment of work and get it done that way for you?
Sure. Could, like, split up the last year.
Yeah.
Might be easier to say all comments before August and comments after August. Or, you know, if two people could do it, or if there were three, we could split it up.
I think we should ask Steve what he is planning to do for his, because if he, it might be that we could, Christy, could you or Ram... send him an email and ask him what he's planning to do and whether there's a way that we could maybe share the work if by dividing it up in this way.
Sure.
Do I have any volunteers?
Yes, Mia, I can do it, especially if you say that Troy is coordinating it. I mean, as I really work with Troy often, it will be maybe easier for me to do it.
Lorenzo, are you going to try to do all of it or part of it?
Well, I volunteer anyway to do to do the maximum, but it's great if someone else can help as well.
Laurence, I'm not really sure because it has been some time ago, but I think I have at some point done at least some summaries of comments for other topics and posted them to the list. You would have to look at the list archive. I can't find it on my laptop right now, but I think we have some things on that already.
We
so
do.
You may be able to build on some older.
Yeah, Laurence, there, and Thomas did send us in December a list of comments, summarized comments relevant to searchability.
Okay,
so
that's great.
We have a good start.
Okay, and what would be the timeline, Christy, for doing it?
It looks like February 20th. Okay, so we were looking for February 14th to locate the relevant comments.
Uh-huh.
Being the deadline, so that may be a little quick for you. And then we were hoping to have them summarized by Troy by the 25th.
25th.
So he would have them from the 15th to the 25th.
So really all Lorenz needs to do is to locate them for Troy, and then he will do the...
Yeah, and he would have... Troy is traveling, and he's very pregnant. His wife is just about to have a child sometime between today and tomorrow. And in the next 3 weeks, we don't know, right? And so he can put all the information onto his portable machine and then summarize as he's got, you know, on the airplane or in the waiting
room
or whatnot.
Right.
Okay, Christy, maybe the best that I speak with you after the call or tomorrow, and then I will coordinate all that with Troy, okay?
Thank you very much, Laurence.
And then, okay, so what else for you guys then? But it doesn't sound to me like we're going to, it sounds to me like March the 10th is the earliest date for you in terms of publishing.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Ron?
Yes.
We're like kids sitting over here with our hats on.
Well, I guess, really, I mean, Christy and I are working very closely on this, Marilyn.
Yeah.
So if Christy says yes, that kind of goes for me as well. We're going to make sure that...
Oh, no. I was going to ask you a totally different question. Sorry.
Okay.
So here's my... Could you guys, as I recall from the previous discussion... And from our previous work, we are aware that there has been concern expressed about profiling, that consistency and uniformity and searchability all added together with unlimited access could lead to profiling.
Yeah, that's true.
Not in and of itself, since the data that's in Whois does not have much of the data that's needed to be able to profile someone, but we're talking about the ability to combine the data. One thing that I sort of noticed in a previous conversation, there was a misunderstanding on the part of at least one person that I talked to who thought that meant all data that the registrar had, which of course might include payment information. Of course, that is not available in Whois.
That's correct. And it's actually, I think, two sides of the same coin here, because as much as it makes itself, there is some merit in the concern about profiling, but I think if you do have uniformity and consistency in the data format, you can then apply the same filter across the entire set and protect the information far more easily than you can today.
And I think those are points that need to be made in your report. I know that there's the Prov Reg group that in the IETF that is working on.
That's correct.
Can you say a bit to us about the status of their work or how you see their work being applicable?
Are you talking about the EPP protocol?
Yes. Well, there are two. The Prov Reg is focused on EPP.
Right.
There's a separate group that's focused on CRISP, and CRISP is a replacement, whole-scale replacement for Whois, and that's a few years out at best.
Right.
What the Prov Reg group is doing in EPP, the EPP protocol had been sent to the Internet, to the IESG for kind of final comments. That's a group that that provides final review and comments. And that group has pushed back to the PROVREC, to the working group, a very strong request to provide the ability in an automated manner to include a the ability to have the equivalent of a privacy tag, so that if the privacy tag is turned on, so if a privacy button is switched on, so to speak, certain information will be then kept private and not be on show or not be available for outside access. All the information will, of course, always continue to be available to the sponsoring registrar, but you know, selective information can then be taken out of general public consumption. So that's the request that has come in to the PROVREC group, and the group is kind of struggling with it. There's a little bit of a polar discussion going on there. There are some folks in the group who believe that that is a policy issue that shouldn't be made a part of a technical protocol, and there are others who believe, you know, the exact opposite. So it has not yet been resolved, but the IASG is fairly clear that it would like to see the basic protocol that all registries are migrating to. They would like to see mechanisms in that protocol to allow for privacy concerns to be adequately addressed.
But as we all know, there's a difference between a standard and how a standard is implemented, and whether a standard is implemented.
Do you mean the specification and the implementation?
No. I mean the fact that just because a standard is there, when companies implement a standard, they may or may not implement all aspects of the standard.
Well, in this case, actually, what is being asked, it skirts that problem, Marilyn.
Okay.
This would be a mandatory. This is being suggested that it shall be mandatory, not optional. But that's, again, it's still in the midst of much discussion right now.
And does the IETF have a history of, I mean, we're talking about this being elements in the standard, right, Rob?
That's correct.
So the IETF would, in theory, propose this standard has the following six elements, and in implementing who is, you have to adopt all of them?
It would go out if it is adopted, if the group all agrees, or there is rough consensus, which is how the IETF works.
Right.
If there is rough consensus, and if there is some implementation, or at least some of the operators agree to implement, but more than that, if there is rough consensus, then the IETF PROVREC working group will send that up to the IASG for review.
Right.
If the IASG agrees and then approves it, the IASG will then publish that as the draft. It really wouldn't be published as a draft standard. It'll go out as this is the draft standard.
Uh-huh.
And from that point on, it's a fairly predetermined process. But the end result, a few months later, the end result will be an RFC.
Right.
And that RFC shall define how the protocol shall be implemented, and for all the registry operators, including VeriSign Registry, that are all the ICANN accredited registry operators, they are required to migrate to this standard once it is published.
Ron, is it just once it is published, or isn't it once it's one step further on the standards track?
Once it is published.
And tell us where it says that they're required to do that.
In their individual contract requirements, or in their individual registry contracts with ICANN.
Okay, so so they are. They will be required, in order to be accredited, to adopt this particular standard.
That's correct. I mean, let me put it this way. With the exception of VeriSign Registry, the other ICANN TLD, ICANN, under contract with ICANN TLDs,
yeah,
already implement a version of EPP, none of which is the final draft version because of the final version because it hasn't been created yet.
Right.
But all of those registries are required, including VeriSign, once the draft is approved as a standard and is published as an RFC.
Uh-huh.
They're given about 135 to 100, you know, 4 months to 5 months,
uh-huh,
in which time they have to migrate to that standard. And if the PROVREG group says that the privacy element must be mandatory,
yeah,
then and if the IESG approves it and it becomes a standard, then every registry must adopt it.
Okay, I would like to propose to the group the following. I think
Marilyn, can I add one comment to that, please?
Yes.
Yeah, real quick, correct me if I'm wrong, Ram, but it would be my understanding that in the redelegation agreement that would probably be put together for .NET, which is about a year and a half down the road, that would also be included as well, would it not?
Yes, it certainly would. That's been consistent with what ICANN has been doing in all of its contracts.
I have a question for the group. I think it would be good for the group to have, and I know the answer from most standards people, including my own, is, you know, you can go to the website and look at it. I don't think that's quite what I'm looking for. I think it would be good, Ram, if we could, is there someone who we could talk to, or we could invite to talk to us about this particular aspect, because what I'm wondering about are things like what are the categories of elements that there would be a privacy tag on? How is that decision being made? And what kind of input is being provided? I love my technical guys, but...
there are many people who are involved in it. I don't know if I can identify just one person.
Yeah.
Scott Hollenbeck helps chair the PROVREG group, but he is not the person who is asking for these privacy things to be put in. I guess good question. You know, we could invite someone from the IESG to talk specifically about the privacy component, and I can help make that connection, Marilyn.
I think that would be helpful, folks. Don't you to know more about, because we are sort of hanging our hat for some of our issues, reports, and recommendations on the development of standards in these areas.
I mean, let me just as a caveat, Marilyn. I won't call this as a complete consensus, but there seems to be rough agreement inside of the PROVREG group. Let me summarize it. The PROVREG group has been asked to put in hooks into the base of the EPP protocol to allow for a generic privacy policy to be stated. Okay, it's really gone nowhere within the group, it's been a very bipolar discussion. Because the group, many of the members of the group are saying the protocol as it is defined today can be easily extended to allow this. You don't need to make it, you know, mandatory. And there is a proposed do not disclose mechanism. And the working group is effectively is trying to tell the IESG that the group is not willing to research the privacy topic within the confines of the working group. So there is obviously some level of disagreement between the working group and the IESG. Calling the IESG, if we're going to call the IESG, we might be also served by calling in Scott Hollenbeck and asking him to comment as well.
You know, let me see if I can net this out. So it sounds like one thing that the technical guys are saying is the flexibility will be there in the standard, and in the implementation, the registrar could decide to write extensions.
That's correct. The group is saying the flexibility is already there in the standard,
uh-huh,
and we cannot create a protocol that will work with every jurisdiction that has different privacy requirements. Therefore, we have created a standard that will allow for flexibility.
Ron, just one question. Is there any internet draft which describes this privacy tag approach which one could read?
It hasn't reached the internet draft stage yet, but if you go, I can send the link out to the team.
Yeah. Would you? Yeah.
Sure.
Marilyn?
Yeah.
I think I'd like to get Scott's perspective on it. He's a pretty straight shooter, and I think we're going to get a lot of the history from him as well on this. So I think it would be a good idea to maybe possibly invite Scott and then someone else who might represent another perspective who's advocating that or something along that line, if that makes any sense, just so we get both sides of the issues.
I think that sounds good to me. I, for instance, one thing that would come to my mind is there may be no disagreement between the working group and the IESG about the need to provide a mechanism of some kind, which would be interesting for us to know. There might just be a difference of opinion on how to do it. I don't quite understand the comment that they can't provide capabilities that will work in every jurisdiction, since I would assume, again, in the implementation, you could turn the tag on or off.
That's exactly right. And that's what the group is saying. The group is saying, hey, listen, the protocol is pretty open.
Uh-huh.
If you want to add a privacy element, there's nothing stopping you from doing it as a registry or a registrar. There's nothing stopping you from doing it today. You don't need to create, you know, yet another tag and then make it mandatory. As an individual registry, you can decide how to do it and how to, whether it's required or it's optional. All of those choices are completely within one's reach. The IESG is saying they don't really care. You must make this a required part of the generic protocol.
Interesting. I think.
I'm sorry. I have one question.
Yes.
I mean, we are also at a point where a registrar and a registry can agree to use any kind of protocol, and as long as you don't agree on how to put any privacy information into the protocol, you have a major practical obstacle to actually implementing this, and you have another standardization effort in front of you before you can go to implement it. So I have some problem with you saying that, okay, we have something which may need to be expressed uniformly across all registrars and registries, but hey, we have the flexibility to do it differently on a case-by-case basis. That's what it sounds to me like, and it doesn't make much sense.
Well, actually, what you're saying is you're almost all the way there. The protocol, I guess, to get it out of the tech, pure tech, you know, techno-speak here, the system allows you to create the ability, you as a registry or a registrar, it allows you to create it provides a basic mechanism by which you can put a privacy element or make it required or not required. And the protocol does not stop you from adding that to the base of the system. So it's the equivalent of, you know, you get a web browser, you can get an add-on to the browser, but it's not part of the core browser, right? In a similar way, privacy is not part of the core EPP protocol today. What the IESG is saying is that it must be built in to the protocol. It shouldn't be left as an optional thing that a specific registry or a registrar can choose to implement. And the working group's response to that request is it's an impossible demand, because we cannot create something that's supposed to be completely generic, yet at the same time allow itself to work for every local jurisdictional requirement. So the working group is saying the same thing you just said, which is this is a conundrum. You're asking us to build something completely generic, yet be totally granular.
Mm-hmm.
And so what the working group is saying is, we provided the mechanism for each operator to add it according to their local rules and laws and regulations. Don't make us do something that has to become the lowest common denominator across every jurisdiction, and therefore it may run the risk of not working in any jurisdiction.
Well, I think I don't get your argument. I still don't get your argument, but probably it's better when you just point us to all of us to some kind of a draft where it's really spelled out in technical terms.
Yeah, sure. And frankly, it's not my argument.
Yeah, Mom. You know the thing that I think we would like to hear from Scott and maybe someone from the IESG who. Do you have ideas of who that would be in the IESG?
I'll have to find out, Marilyn.
Okay.
It's a group of people, so
yeah.
I'll have to
find out. I think that would be helpful for all of us, and we could schedule that in one of our future calls.
Sure, I'll get the links, or I'll get the requests out today.
Okay, that's terrific. But that makes me feel better, because I'm thinking about the fact that in our consistency and searchability issues report, we are going to be saying this other work is going on. I do think, we need to figure out what we think we've adequately researched and what we haven't been able to as well, if we feel that more work is needed in this particular area. Has anyone else joined us? No.
It might be Patrick Falstrom that we invite from that.
Oh, that would be great, yeah, yeah. One thing that occurred to me, I think it would be very helpful for us to know what the IESG is thinking about. Are they thinking about emergence of enum, for instance? You know, are they thinking about other uses of the DNS data of some kind, and that's what's leading them to think in this particular way? And I think their thought process, what's on their mind, would be helpful for us. Richika, can we talk a bit about your efforts to gather questions on privacy?
Sure. Marilyn, you're the only one to have responded so far.
What I've
decided to do is read through the archives and log whatever privacy issue I see, and I'll probably log how the task force responded to it.
Guys, I think maybe what we should do, Vichika, in our next call is actually have a discussion based on the questions that I gave you, what you've been able to read so far, and the two submissions that we got. I'm going to have to go back and sit out and read the contributions that the commission made to ICANN in the past, and I would urge others to do that as well. And the document that Thomas forwarded to us, I think we should schedule a discussion about the kinds of questions in one of our working sessions.
That sounds good. Can we schedule it for February 25th?
Is that our next call?
No, the next call is February 18th. I may not be available.
Okay. Does the 25th sound okay with everyone?
This is Steve. I won't be on the call the 25th, but I just wanted to ask one follow-up, Marilyn.
Here you are. I was hoping, yes.
Yeah, I just joined a few minutes ago. You mentioned the previous submissions by the commission.
To ICANN.
Yeah, they referenced two of them. One is in the submission that we got.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is posted, but the other one is not, and I haven't found anybody who's gotten it yet. Apparently, it was a submission to the GAC, so we may need to track that down unless you have it.
I don't, and that was I encountered the same problem.
Okay.
Yeah, I encountered the same problem. And Michelle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Could you ask Louis if he has access to that earlier submission, and if not, then we will need to go back and request it, because it's not available to us.
Okay,
actually,
the GAC one.
It would seem to me that Christopher would have it, and it shouldn't be that much difficult to get it from him.
Christopher Wilkinson would have it?
Yeah.
Actually, I think we will need copies of both documents because the last time I looked at the one which was, tried to look at the one which was referenced, that was a dead link. So.
Yeah, do you want to, and Michelle, you might just go to him as the new secretariat and see if he does.
Okay.
But we would need both the documents. Aren't there also documents referenced in the documents sent to us by the other committee?
I think their links are working.
Okay.
And I'm not sure those were previously sent to ICANN. Maybe they were.
They weren't. I didn't assume they were.
One of them was, actually. I talked to that guy some days ago, and his cross position on who is was sent to ICANN in 2000, and it was that document where they got a friendly, yes, we've got it from Mike Roberts. So it was really the distant past, and they seem to have some fax transmission problems with the other one. There are some emails going around we can't find it at ICANN, and how did they try to send it? So there seem to be some real transmission problems, something like that.
So, Thomas, we should take from this that in the event of technology failure, a real person carrier is still the best way to get information.
Who scans it and puts it on the internet? Yes.
Okay. If you could, Michelle, and kind of the sooner the better, so that we could all begin digesting those, that would be great.
Okay.
Steve, I had gone around and asked folks where they were on in their work. Can I turn to you on that point?
Yeah, you can turn to me, but I have no report to make because I've had to attend to other things over the past week, so it's in status quo.
I'm not surprised, and I'm familiar with that problem. Is there something that any of us could do to help you on that, or do you feel like by next week you might have something to review? Or
I certainly hope to. I should be able to get to it next weekend.
Okay. Then what I'm going to suggest, Christy, when are you and Rom going to have anything that you think? Because I was going to say maybe if we need the work time, then we could try to have Scott on next week's call and use next week's call for that if he's available. And that would move the reports, and then we would have the privacy work session on the 25th. And that would give people more time to complete their work.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense to everyone?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't mind waiting till the 25th, but as I said, I won't be able to be on the call that day.
I was going to excuse you from that.
Thank you.
If you have something, I think we ought to try to go ahead and have Scott and whoever else next week if possible, Patrick if possible. And that, I think, though, would only take the first hour, I hope. If you have something that you want to review with the group, then we could do that then, Steve?
Sure, we could aim for that.
Okay. And then, Machika, you've got a session, kind of a working brainstorming session for the first hour on the 25th. And if you want to call me, I might have some other ideas to share with you on what other kinds of information might already be out there that would be helpful.
That sounds terrific.
And then the second hour of the 25th, are we likely to have anything from Christy and Ron to look at?
I think that's a plan.
Okay. Then we're going the following week, which would be early in March, we're going to have draft documents from everybody to walk through for that next call. March, I think it's, I can't remember the day now.
March 4th.
It's March 4th. March 4th. That, then we walk through everything, do a turnaround, and try to approve everything by email. We probably need one last call to sign off on the documents before they get posted on the 10th, which might mean two calls that week. Why don't we see how things go? The only thing we haven't talked about, which, again, I don't think is going to be a major amount of work, we're going to get the comments back in. We have 4 days to take a look at them. I am not assuming we're going to make any significant changes in our report, but we probably, the comments close on the 17th, Glenn?
Yes, Marilyn.
So we need to devote a few minutes on the 18th to making sure that we're not making any major changes in our report. So that needs to be on our agenda. That would say to me, Rom, that we probably ought to do that first at 11, get the report out of the way, and then maybe invite let me ask the group. Do you want to do Scott first at 11 and then cut off definitely at the hour and have the last hour for to finish the report?
Quite frankly, do we seriously expect to do any changes to the substance of the report besides adding impact reviews and summaries of comments?
I don't, which was why I was suggesting to change the order so that we could end the call early rather than twiddling our thumbs and waiting for Scott to come on.
Okay.
Is that okay with everyone? We would do Scott or Patrick first if they're available. And the second hour, and we would allocate an hour to that. And the second hour, and if we finish early, then we can go ahead and start on the report. Okay?
Okay.
And Glenn will send the notice about the call out to everyone.
I'll send that.
As a reminder, Monday.
Monday, yes. And can somebody just send me the emails of Scott and Patrick, please? If they're handy, otherwise I look for them. It doesn't matter.
To the list, I've already posted Patrick's email address, and I'll give you Scott's as well. Shortly.
Okay, thanks, Rom.
Terrific. Anything else? Hearing nothing, we must get adjourned.